Now, Billy, tell you first that the Salvation Army adopted. They adopted a system of the three S's, and I think it is a good one. First, it is S was soup, soap, and salvation. You never could save a hungry man, so they fed him, they washed him, and then they gave us a chance to save his soul. Those were the days, and those were the things that people were interested in. Now, the Miner's Saloon was on the corner of Howard, next to the corner of Howard and Riverside. This man conceived the idea of taking and making wallpaper out of the fake mining stocks, and he covered that whole building. But the mining men of the city, it done more harm, so the mining men finally convinced him to repaper it with clean paper and forget about the fake mining stocks. Now, we had a sheriff that was a progressive man. He should have been in business. His idea of this hanging was to hang this man, and the gallows was built so that everybody could see it. And he saw a chance to make some money. So he sold over 200 tickets to the hang. Now, one thing that struck everybody was that so many women come to the hang. Now, they said there was some 30 or 40 women watch the hang. But he done more than that, the sheriff did. Besides charging them the ticket, he gave them an extra bonus. He cut the rope in small chunks, and they gave each one of them a piece of the rope. Now, the biggest bootlegger we had in the city was a fellow by the name of Charlie Dale. Now, Charlie Dale brought liquor into Spokane in his car. He had 40 cases, and coming down over the 4th of July cannon, his car went down to the bottom of the fort with 40 cases of liquor. Now, Charlie went down at the bottom of it, and all he could find was one pint. He took it up on the road and drank it, but Charlie went right on bootlegging. There was cars of coal that come in from Canada, and the bottom of the car on top of the coal would be all full of liquor, and so they got their liquor in there. You could buy a drink, I think, in pretty near every place in town except the YMCA and the Methodist Church. They didn't sell liquor in either of those places. Now, Gene German owned the German block. He was made famous because of his free lunch. He brought imported cheese in, and everybody talked about it. But Gene was in financial trouble, and he married a beautiful Spanish girl. And when he saw that he couldn't make it, he took a gun and put it in his mouth and shot it, and it blew part of his head off. It didn't kill him, but he died at Medical Lake. Now, we had a lot of attractions there, and a lot of famous men come to our city. Bob Fitzsimmons was the champion heavyweight of the world, and Gotch was the champion wrestler, and we had a chief of the fire department by the name of Weeks. Now, Fitzsimmons told Gotch that he could make more money if he'd fight, and he'd get a fight for him, and then he could get it best to get in the minute. So he matched Gotch and Weeks, and they went to the Natatorium Park and put on this fight. They was practically booed off the street, off of there. And Gotch, when he got through, said that fighting wasn't a gentleman game. And then Bob Fitzen got religion, and he started in election and trying to save souls, and I hope maybe he did. I don't know. Now, Sam Berry was one of our biggest merchants. He was on the corner of Washington and Maine, and he had a big third. Now, remember, the smallest coin was a 5-cent piece, but he conceived the idea to bring pennies, and he brought 500 pennies and dumped them in his window, and he cut the prices 2 and 3 cents, and that caused an eruption all over the city because nobody else had any pennies, but he got by with it pretty good. Now, one of the great attractions of the city and the only entertainment that we had and that we put on at the theaters and everywhere and did for a year was the Elks Minstrel. Now, these Elks Minstrel entertained us, and they traveled all over to the interior of the city. But the depression come, and the liquor was and the Elks Lodge went in and went into the depression when prohibition came. Now the Elks couldn't pay their bills, and but the manager conceived an idea that if they'd put in a bar in there and sell drinks that wasn't too soft, that he could pull himself out of and pull it out of the. This happened to all of our clubs. It wasn't long before the Elks could pay all their bills. Now, one of the things that I think that everybody should know, and it was kept a secret during the whole war, that the Salvation Army went in and give our boys in the army coffee and donuts, and they got all the credit for it. But when it come to the final analysis of it, it was the Elks that bought all the donuts, and now the Elks are getting credit for it. And it was a wonderful thing. Now I would like to talk to you about where, in one day, where millions of dollars, in one year, millions of dollars were lost. It was so simple and so foolish. It eliminated all our wholesale grocers, our brokers, and our sub-buy jobbers, and it was just this simple. The manufacturers decided to go direct to the retailers, and so they didn't need the broker, they didn't need the wholesale houses for the sub-buy jobbers. Now, the sub-buy jobbers sold the restaurants, and the wholesalers sold the retail grocers. Now, by going direct to them, they cut all these out. This caused such a hardship in the city that it broke such concerns as B.L. Gordon, Benham and Griffith, and Paul Sanders closed his doors. The Imperial and the broker, one broker lost $10,000 on it. But the millions of dollars was on hand. Now this caused a hardship all over our city. And the thing this depression was, I wished I could explain it. It was terrible. All our big businesses went broke. Now the Bakerite Bakery was the biggest bakery. They made thousands of loaves of bread, but they had to close their door. The Murray Lighting Company was the biggest retail store in the city, and the Palm Candy that seated hundreds of people, and the Buxley Cafe. Now these, and hundreds of places on Riverside. Now these businesses were all liquidated by Carl H. Trunk. See, it's Trunk and Company, and it was pitiful. And one of the things that interested me once was these real estate men trying to sell the farmers on going out in the valley and farming. One of these Easterners would pick up a handful of that gravel, and they'd say to this real estate man, "Do you think I'm crazy to try to farm in a gravel pit?" And he would walk away. But somebody did put in some apples, and they grew. And it wasn't long, it wasn't only a few years until that orchard was 10 miles across, and it was 30 miles long. What cleared across was the largest body of apples in the world. And that is what brought on our apple show that I will tell you about later. Now, this is the thing that people wouldn't hardly believe, and I don't know whether I believe it or not, but I know this, the first part of it is true. 200 men left Spokane for Euphrata to corral the wild horses. Now, these 200 men brought 6,000 horses loose. You remember, wheat was taking over the land, and so these horses were all shipped east. And to tell the truth about it, I think they were all canned, and I think that finally went to the army. Of course, that was such a secret, nobody would want to know just exactly what did. But there was a lot of complaint from the Philippine Islands that it was horse meat. But let's forget that. That's one of the sad things of life. Now in Union Park, this sounds unbelievable, but on Union Park, a man went into his basement one day and he found pure oil, a pool of it. He had it examined and found it was of the highest grade. So it caused such a test. He asked anybody, and the whole turn city went out and it out to see it. And this is what really happened. There wasn't any oil there. The man in the house, half a block up the street, had a barrel of oil, and it was leaking, and it run through the gravel onto the clay pit and emptied in his basement. Now, this caused such an awful stir that the people started drilling for oil. They drilled down on Hangman Creek and lost a lot of money, and I think they were battling in a volcanic. Now, some of our richest mines were in Roslyn and Cannon and a long way from Spokane. But to relate early Spokane history, Rosalia must be mentioned as the great Leroy mine was located there. Now, this mine helped build our city. And that was the time that Senator George Turner. Now, Senator George Turner was probably the smartest. The Reader's Digest said this about Turner, that he had never taken a book of law to the library. He would read a page of book and recite it verbatim. But he was the man that decided the boundary line between the United States and Canada. Now I'd like to tell you about the biggest industry that Spokane ever had. It was a larger industry than the aluminum plant, and more money was invested in it. We manufactured this article, and we shipped it all over the world, and we had the corner on the whole thing. Now there's very few businessmen that realize how much money was invested in this, and very few know that what we was manufacturing. But this is true. We had the largest body of white pine in the world, and we made matches. And we shipped those in shipload lots to Norway and Sweden and all over the world. Now there's some fella come along that didn't realize what we'd done, and he invented a paper match. And you remember the Ohio, the Federal, and the General Match Company, they were all in here, and they controlled our forests and millions of doys went in there. Now, in 1926, there was a lot of dissatisfied loggers were streaming into town, carrying their bike and telling of hardships in the woods. There was no bunkhouses, no food, and the food was very poor. One logger asked a foreman of the camp where he was asleep and received reply that they had a square mile of logging rights here, and he could sleep anywhere he wanted. These loggers were rugged and tough characters, and they were discontented. They were gathering in Spokane. Many were organized into unions, and the IWW was born. This time, Emma Golden, the famous anarchist, was lecturing in Spokane, always attended by police and officers. The crowd got on early, and the police tried to break the mobs up. So much violence ruled the city, and finally the jails were filled to overflowing. The schools were used to confine the lawbreakers. One schoolhouse was set afire, and the police chief was shot one night. His name was Sullivan. A man by the name of Orchard blew up a depot, and several people were killed. He was sent to the penitentiary, and just before he died, which was recently, he became a great Bible student. After all the confusion and rioting, loggers were finally promised good bunkhouses to sleep in, out of the weather, also better wages. It's a long story, but today life in the camp is good. Men are paid what they're worth, but it took years to accomplish this act. For thousands of years before Christ, men built great pyramids to perpetuate their names. Now, the good things of life is the things that live on. Bing Crosby will always remember for the great library he gave to the Gonzaga College. W.H. Cowles will be remembered for the Boy Scouts. He was recognized nationally all over the United States for his philanthropy. Joe Albee, who helped build our stadiums and our golf course, will be remembered. Patterson, who helped build these great industries. You get Stanton will be remembered for the cattle industry of the Inland Empire. Hutton and his wife, who helped so many orphans get an education and turned out such wonderful men. Mary Jewett, now Miss David Geyser of Spokane, contributed liberally to completing the Episcopal St. John Cathedral and giving the electric organ for the church. It's one of the finest in the Pacific Northwest.
I wish to thank you very much, Mr. Trunk, for this valuable information which you have just recorded for the Library of Spokane.